Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us once again. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us in our right mind. We thank you, Lord, for the worship experience, Lord, where we come together collectively to participate in worship and praise of you, Lord. Lord, it's the moment of preaching, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you be with me as you have prepared me to share this word to these your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The topic, the star, a journey to Christmas. This is the theme for this season. This is the theme for this season. The journey to Christmas, the star. Let's talk about the star for a moment. Really comes from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." That's the only place you will see that star mentioned. Very brief and very to the point, but there is so much in that. First of all, Jesus was born, thank God. And Jesus was born not just for the Jews, but he was born for everybody. And these wise men from the east saw the star. And as wise men do, they seek solutions. So they followed the star and came to the place where Jesus was. You know, the star is a guiding light. It was for them and it is for us today also. We can navigate by the stars. I understand during the Underground Railroad, they looked for the North Star to keep them on track. But there's something about a guiding light. Stars cannot be seen during the daytime. However, when the darkness falls, there is the star. During our darkest moments, the star is more prominent. During our darkest times, it leads us to the source of our strength, the source of our salvation, the source of who we are in Christ. And you know, the darker the sky, the brighter the star. You know what that means? That means that there's no pollution blocking our view of the stars. You get me started, I could just stay on this subject all day long. You see, when you have light pollution, like in the city, you can't see the stars. But you have to go out to the country. Yes. And the further you go out to the country, the further you remove yourself from the lights, you can see clearly. My brothers and sisters, what pollution do we have in our lives that we need to get rid of? That keeps us from focusing on what we need to focus on? What pollution is upsetting our navigational system, telling us that right is wrong and wrong is right? The star was a beacon light. The star was a guiding light. These wise men had a destination, and that destination was to see the King of the Jews, Jesus Christ. But to get to a destination, my brothers and sisters, we have to go on a journey.
Amen.
And I think sometimes as saints, we are so heavily bound that we are no earthly good. We know our destination, but we don't enjoy the journey. The journey upsets us. The journey. Have you ever gone cross country in a car? When for a few hundred dollars you could have bought a plane ticket. And the journey is long. And you count the hours. And you look at the signs. And you cross state boundaries going to state to state to state. And you can't wait till you get to your destination. Again, we so focus on the destination, we lose the enjoyment of the journey. This month and next month, we will be focusing on the journey. We will be focusing on the journey because God wants us to enjoy the journey that we're on. And for the next month, we're going to focus on different aspects of the journey to Christmas. And today's message is that the star led to hope, and it leads us to hope also. We're coming from Paul's message to the Gentiles, to the Romans. In Romans chapter 15 is where we're coming from today on this journey of hope. Paul is letting the Gentiles know. Now, Gentiles are people who are not Jews, quite simply. And everybody knew that the Messiah came for the Jews to be their ruler. But not everybody knew that he came for everybody. So this is a message to the everybody else, which is us. You might not think you're good enough. You might not think you're pretty enough. You might not think you work hard enough. But Jesus came for us. And in this book of Romans, he's laying the case for Christ. And he's telling them about the law of love and tells them to bear one another's burdens in chapter 15. And then he focuses on hope, starting at the 7th or 8th verse of chapter 15. And it reads the 7th verse, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. You know, hope leads to acceptance. Hope leads to acceptance. Paul is encouraging them, since you are of Christ, since you are brothers and sisters in Christ, receive one another. Be hospitable to one another, just as Christ received us to the glory of God. Christ did not wait for us to get perfect to receive us, but he received us in the midst of our mess. He received us in the midst of our turmoil. He received us in the midst of our doubts. He received us even though we weren't what we want to be. Certainly not what he wants us to be, but he still received us. You know, in this world, we have criteria for receiving people. If they don't look like this, if they don't talk like this, if they don't have all this, if they don't exhibit all this, then you cannot be part of my circle. But in Christ, we are all brothers and sisters. We are all broken people who have been restored through the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. So therefore, if Christ has received us, he's telling the Christians in Rome, y'all need to accept one another. Jesus is our model of how we should act. Hope leads to acceptance. Once we come to Christ, we hope they will accept us. You know, and Paul was an authority on that. Because, you know, Paul used to be this guy named Saul. He was a Pharisee. He was one of those who was against Jesus, never believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the one who sought to kill Christians. But yet, he had a Damascus Road experience. And he came to Christ. And guess what? Not everybody accepted him as a Christian. They said, we know you. We know your past. We know where you've been, what you've done. Yes, you are an educated man. So why are you trying to sneak in to our circle? We think you're trying to be undercover to find out where all of us are, us Christians are. So if there was anybody who knew the challenges of being accepted, look at Paul. But yet he realizes that if it was not for God in his life, it was not for Jesus Christ saving him, he would not be what he is. He said, I am what I am through the grace of God. So he's speaking with authority when he says, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Then in verse 8, he says, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the Father. And he's laying out the objectives that God had through the ministry of Jesus. Jesus came to become a servant to the Jews so that God's word would be fulfilled. And he came to fulfill the promise made to the fathers, made to Abraham, made to Moses, made to Joshua, made to David, made to Solomon, made to Ruth, made to the saints before. He's letting them know that. We have to look at Romans 9, verse 4 and 5, where Paul says, who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. So God came in the flesh as the form of Jesus Christ to the Jews who had a covenant relationship with God. He came to save them also. But look at verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So he came, number one, for the Jews. But number two, he came for all the rest of us. Sometimes we get so shocked in reading number one that we don't go any further and realize that he's for us also. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Paul lays it out to the Ephesians church in Ephesus, the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, meaning us, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Check out that word. Having no hope and without God in the world. Now going back to 15:9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. It was the mercy of God that he sent his son to redeem us back to him. Isn't this a reason to rejoice? See, this was God's plan from the very beginning, to extend grace beyond the genealogical boundaries of the Jews to all people. As God told Abraham in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wait a minute. In you, all the families of the earth. Wait a minute. I'm one of the families of the earth. So that means through Abraham and the covenant relationship God had with him, it means I'm blessed too. See, sometimes we need to go back to understand where we are. This wasn't something that just came about, but this was something that was planned for, prophesied, and recorded way back in the beginning. It was the mercy of God that sent his son to redeem us. So just in case you Romans, just in case you Romans who confess Christ don't believe that you are the same or equal with God's covenant people, the Jews, I'm here to share a message with you that God came for all of us. Now, to support his point, Paul quotes several scriptures from the Old Testament that point towards the inclusion of everybody in the family of God. And that's at the end of verse 9 of chapter 15, says, for this reason, let me go back, as it was written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. You know what? He's going back to David's song of deliverance. Psalm 18:49. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. In David's song of deliverance, he praised God among the Gentiles. He did not separate himself and praise God among his people, but he praised God among everybody. Because David knew something about what was about to happen in the future. Even David, song of deliverance, he praised God among the Gentiles. And then in verse 10 of Romans 15, Paul says, and again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Now, I wonder where that comes from. Well, I'm about to tell you. Okay, this is Moses said this. During Moses' song to the people of Israel, he exhorted the Gentiles in Deuteronomy 32:43, where it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Check that out. Moses knew something about this. Then in verse 11, and again, 11 of Romans 15, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. Laud him, all ye people. Inquiring minds want to know where this comes from.
Yes.
Write down Psalm 117:1. Psalm 117:1, where the writer commands the Gentiles to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you people. Why in the world would somebody tell the people outside of the covenant relationship, people of God, to praise the Lord if they were not included?
Come on.
Look at verse 12. And again. See, Paul was deep. God used him in a mighty way. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse. And he who shall reign, shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope.
Hope.
Amen. Hope. Hence the subject, the star leads to hope. In Isaiah's messianic prophecy, where he predicted that the Gentiles will live under the rule of the root of Jesse. Who was the root of Jesse? The Messiah. The root of Jesse. That comes from Isaiah 11:10. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. He is letting us know that there is a place for everybody. Paul has gone back to the beginning, back to Genesis, and walked us through where it points to the inclusion of the Gentiles. There was a time when the Jews would say, you might be Christians, but you're not 100% Christian, because you're not circumcised, or you're not this. You don't keep our laws. We are super Christians. But no. There is just one. There is just one qualification to become a Christian, and that is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God has raised him from the dead. That's the only qualification. Confess that and believe it in our heart. In the Messiah, we will find hope. And in verse 13, now may the God of hope. Now made the God of hope, because it was foretold that this was going to happen. Now we can worship the God of hope. The promises of the scripture gives us hope. The journey to Christmas gives us hope. The journey to the star gives us hope. It gave the wise men hope. I read somewhere that journey might have taken up to 2 years to get there. Talking about hope. There is a lot of things, my brothers and sisters, we hope for. We hope that when we leave here today, we can find something to eat. We hope that we get in our cars today and we turn the key, that it will crank up. We hope that when we wake up tomorrow morning, we can wake up to a brand new day. We hope so many things. But when we talk about this hope, we're not talking about something we wish would happen. We are talking about the earnest expectation of something happening. Now, faith is the substance of all things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that we need faith to have hope. We need faith to have the expectation that Jesus Christ died for us. We need faith to have the earnest expectation that we are children of God. We need faith to have the earnest expectation to know that even though things might be going wrong in our lives right now, we are still a child of God. Even though we don't have enough money. money for the month that lays ahead. We are still a child of God. Even though we have infirmities in our bodies, we are still a child of God. Even though we might have an anger issue, we are still a child of God. Even though the enemy surrounds us, we are still a child of God. For in our darkest times, that's when we can see Christ more clearer than we could before, because the pollution has gone away. In our dark times, we can worship the Lord. Now may the God of hope. Let me read that again now that I've done that. Now may the God of hope, make the God of hope fill you with all joy. This hope should fill us with joy in anticipation of seeing our hope fulfilled. Fill you with all joy. There are different things that we can ingest that can fill us up or go right through us. Depends on what you want. You want a sweet tooth right now, or you want nourishment forever? You choose what you want. Amen. Amen. Filled up in the body. Now think about the spirit. What are we filling our spirit with? What are we filling our spirit with? This hope should fill us with joy. And natural physics tells me that two substances can't occupy the same space at the same time. So if I'm filled with joy, what has to leave? Doubt has to leave. Hatred has to leave. Insecurities has to leave. Intolerance has to leave. For we are of the same family. Again, receive one another, just as Christ has received us. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. We can have peace in the assurance that God will fulfill our hopes. We can have peace. I'm always amazed when I visit folks on their deathbed, and those who are of Christ seem to be at such peace.
Come on, tell it.
And I used to wonder when I was a young man, why are they at peace? They would be at more peace than I would be at, because I didn't want to see them go. But they were at peace. Why were they at peace? Because they had an earnest expectation through faith that there was a home for them beyond this body. Amen. They had an expectation that this body would no longer be needed and a brand new body will be provided. They had an earnest expectation that to be absent from their body would be present with the Lord. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can overflow or abound with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have assurance that we are a child of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can walk in victory knowing that we are saved through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can walk victoriously even though everything seems to be going on around us. Just ask Brother Job. We can walk victoriously knowing that one day we will see God face to face, knowing that he has a home for us. The star is an essential element on our journey. But there's another star called Jesus.
Come on now.
Jesus.
Ooh, yes.
Is the light of the world.
Yes.
And as long as we stay focused on him, the journey might not be easy, but it will be tolerable.
Yes.
It will be joyful.
Yes.
It can be peaceful.
Yes.
We will have our times of insecurity.
Yes.
We will have our times of doubt. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Yes, hallelujah.
That's for me.
Yes.
That's for us.
Yes.
Knowing that God is with us through the light of the world. The greatest star that cannot be outshone. The greatest star that is still beckoning men and women, children to him right now. Follow the star. Enjoy the journey. God bless you. A journey of hope. A journey of hope.
Praise God.
A journey.
Yes, yes.
Of hope.
Glory.
Amen.
Praise God.
God bless you. God bless you. A journey. Of hope.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
When I started out this morning, I didn't know how this would turn out. I had a few doubts. But the Lord showed up.
Yes.
And I've learned a long time ago just to follow the star.
Amen.
Follow the light.
Amen.
And things will be put into your spirit.
Yes.
Yes.
Even as you look down and don't see it in print, it will be put into your spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Let us stand. Let us stand at this time.